Isaiah chapter 11, starting at verse number 1. The prophecy says, "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips. He shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." The prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Let's pray together. Excuse me. Father, stir up our hearts. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, nurture our growth as people of repentance and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I want to thank everyone who spent time last week and today, just spending time going through the building and decorating. Just don't want to single a lot of people out. I know people hate when I do that, but I just got to give a big shout out to Bethany Rainsburg. I know she doesn't want me to do this. She didn't tell me not to, so I can do it. but she made these pillars out of, I don't know if y'all remember, there was a fence on the southern side of the building, and she repurposed that and made these wonderful pillars. I just think that's like, I can preach. I can't do anything like that. Like that. This is so cool. But thank you so much for spending a lot of time doing that. And we get to use them for like the entire year. So really appreciate that. Let's take care of it. Let's take care of our space. You know, we've been blessed with a wonderful space, this building. I have friends who are preachers and pastors, and they're looking for a place to worship and to do ministry, and it's a frustrating experience that they have. And here we are with a huge space that God has blessed us with. And I just think it's incumbent upon us to really understand that this is a gift, right? This is a blessing, and we ought to take care of it. So let's be mindful to take care of this space that God has blessed us with. There are other people who use this building. There's another church that comes in after us, after we worship here. They worship here this afternoon. So, you know, if you leave stuff in here, then they have to pick that up. If when they're here, they leave stuff here, we have to pick that up. So what we try to do is remind one another to, you know, as both churches use this space, let's just take care of the space. You know, whatever you brought in here, take it out, and let's leave it looking better than we found it. Let's take care all over the building. When we see things that are out of place, you know, let's try to, if we can't personally put it back into the place where it was, you know, supposed to be, then let's make sure we get a hold of someone and say, "Hey, there's something out of place and we need to fix that." If you see some paper or garbage on the floor, pick some garbage up and put it in the trash can. You know, if you go in the bathroom and the toilets aren't flushed, you know, plug your nose up and flush the toilet. Like, that's just what we do to take care of the spaces that we're in, right? And let's take care of it together. So thank you so much again for decorating. It's really, I think, important that we just you know, be festive and put some greenery around to make this place look beautiful during this season of Advent. We're walking through the season of Advent that I've alluded to several times. It's a season of waiting. The season of Advent, I would contend, is a season of slowing down, which kind of goes countercultural to the Christmas season of rush and, you know, going to the mall and going to the stores and rushing and doing all these things to get together for the holiday season. I'm not telling you not to do those things. I am saying that while you're doing those things, take a moment to slow down and to reflect on Jesus Christ, who we believe is part of our common confession, that Jesus Christ is coming back into this world again. We say again because he made entrance into this world 2,000 years ago. He was born of a virgin by the name of Mary. His birth was a magnificent event that prompted heavenly beings to sing songs and to worship. We sang two songs today, the Gloria in Excelsis Deo, which means glory to God in the highest. Those were the words uttered by the angels and heavenly beings as the Christ child was born. The season of Advent leads up to Christmas, and so we are celebrating this season in worship by thinking of Christ's second coming while reflecting on Christ's first coming. And this year, we focus our attention on Isaiah chapter 9, a prophecy about a child that will be born and the names given to that child in that text. These names speak to our needs as humans. We have a need for a power greater than us to deal with the sin in our lives, the chaos in our world, and the conflict on our planet. I want to direct your attention to Isaiah chapter 9. I'm just going to read a couple verses from chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. This is the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, which says, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Isaiah chapter 9. Last week, we looked briefly at one of the names, Wonderful Counselor. We invited Jesus as Wonderful Counselor into our lives to speak to the places in our lives that lack hope. Well, we believe that the Wonderful Counselor gives us his ear and his heart and will provide for us understanding and guidance and correction and care as a counselor would. This morning, we want to consider the name Mighty God, Mighty God. Last week, I spoke on the condition of the ancient Israelites and ancient Jews. That's Israel and Judah. Israel was a nation comprised of the 10 northern tribes of Israel, and Judah was a nation made up of the two southern tribes of Israel. Israel's capital in the north was Samaria. And Judah's capital in the south was Jerusalem. They both had temples built for the worship of the Lord, Jehovah. Both nations were led by kings. In Israel, mostly all of the kings were bad and evil kings. These bad kings were ruthless and led their respective nations away from God. In the southern kingdom, there were some good kings, but a lot of bad kings and evil kings as well in the southern kingdom. And they led as kings, they led the people of Israel and Judah into wicked ways and worship that wasn't the worship of the one true God. And in 722 BC, this is in historical record, 722 BC, over 700 years before the birth of Jesus, Israel was conquered by a nation called Assyria. In 586 BC, the Judah nation was conquered and its survivors were carried away by the Babylonians. And Isaiah's prophecy was delivered in the 8th century. It was delivered to Judah, the southern kingdom, and it was a prophecy that was to inform Judah of their impending judgment that would look like Israel's judgment, being carried off by the Assyrians. They had already been conquered. As Isaiah, or as I said last week, Isaiah 9 prophecy was a prophecy of hope. It was hope for a new king that would rule differently, lead differently, and champion their causes differently, as opposed to the wicked kings like King Ahaz, who sacrificed his own kids in worship to other gods. This new king would bring glory and honor back to the house of David, Israel's most prolific king. And this king, the text says, will establish and uphold the throne with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. So this king would not be a temporary king, but an everlasting king. In order for this to take place, the people of God would need a champion. They would need a warrior. They would need a superhero. I mean, someone to come in. They were in oppression. They were in slavery. They were subjects of another land, another nation, another world power the Babylonians were a really, really strong power. And they would need someone to rescue them, and they would need someone with some superpowers like a superhero. Now I don't know if the concept of superheroes was back in the day of ancient Jude and ancient Israel like it is for us today, but for people who lived in oppression under the harsh rule of a mighty power like Babylon, that the people would need someone with superpowers, someone like Superman, right? Someone who's faster than a speeding bullet and able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, or someone like the Incredible Hulk, who could come in and just wreck the foundations of the enemy with horror and power. That's the type of superhero. Or maybe they were looking for a hero like the Black Panther, someone who is stealth and that uses the energy from natural resources to draw strength for the preservation of his people. And he was a brother. Or maybe they were looking for someone who didn't possess superhuman powers, but was able to use the best in gadgetry and the most unique weapons, like Batman, right? But not the scary Dark Knight Batman. I'm like someone who is a little bit nicer, like the 1960s, like, you know, the non-muscular Batman, the Batman that we could be like the Batman, you know, the one that had like goofy steps, Batman. Remember that, the Batwalk? Or maybe the people of God needed the Wonder Twins. They needed a giant bear and a bucket of water. Those of you who are young have no clue who the Wonder Twins are, but those of you who grew up with the Wonder Twins, are you like me? Were they not the weirdest superheroes ever? One could turn into a ferocious animal, like the girl would say, you know, form of a huge ferocious dinosaur. And then the guy would say, form of a bucket of water. And then they would save the planet. But hey, maybe the ancient Israelites needed the Wonder Twins. I don't know. I don't know what it meant in the ancient Israel or ancient Judah in 700 BC to be a superhero. I do know that the prophet Isaiah proclaimed that for a child has been born for us, a son given to us, authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. The word mighty in Hebrew means hero. The word mighty means hero or champion. Isaiah said that this child that would be born would be a king called a champion God or a hero God. When I hear champion, I hear victory. When I hear champion, I hear we win. I hear triumph. I hear celebration. When I hear hero, I hear rescue. I hear enemies defeated. I hear redemption. When I hear hero, I think of someone doing something that I cannot do for myself. When I hear hero, I think of the mountains of obstacles that are crushed on my behalf by this hero. When I hear hero, a mighty God, I can't help but think of the gods of this world that are competing for my allegiance and competing for my worship, but they can't help and they cannot be compared to the mighty God of Israel, Yahweh, Jehovah, our Lord. When I hear mighty God, I can't help but think of the songs that we sing to celebrate this mighty God. We sing a song that goes, mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, he's ruler of everything. We sing a song that says, what a mighty God we serve, angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him, what a mighty God we serve. We sing a song that says, I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. We sing a song that says, Savior, he can move mountains. My God is mighty to save. Our worship, our songs reflects a God who is mighty, who is powerful, who is a champion, who is a hero. And how will God accomplish this? How will God get this done? How will the people of God experience rescue and victory and redemption and enemies being defeated? Here, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, here is the crux of the matter. Let me tell you a story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was a beautiful earth that God created, and he created it for humans to enjoy. He would create humans, and he would say of humans that humans, they are the crown jewel of my creation. When he created the heavens and the earth and the stars and the waters and the skies, he says, man, that's good. But when he created people, he said, that's very good. And he created this earth for humans to enjoy. He told the people, he said, take care of this earth. You can have it. You can do what you want. Just take care of it. But apparently that offer wasn't good enough for humans. Humans rebelled against God's way and they lost all that God had given to them. History would unfold and humans would populate the earth and bad things began to overtake the earth. It got so bad that God said, I've had enough. There was a great flood that overcame this earth and it was destroyed and all the people on it, except there was a man named Noah and his family who were spared. Noah had built this big boat and had saved his life and some animals. And he and his family would be tasked with repopulating the earth. And one of his descendants, a man by the name of Abraham, Abraham was chosen to be God's instrument to bless all the nations of the earth, all the peoples of the earth. The nation that would eventually emerge was a nation called Israel. And Israel has had a long and complicated history that we don't have 40 years to talk about today. But for about 400 years, they were slavers. They were slaves in a country called Egypt. It was a harsh and rough time, but God was with them. They cried out to God, and they called out to him to rescue them. And God did indeed listen to their cry, and he rescued them, and he promised to lead them to a land that would be their own, a land called Canaan, a place that's flowing with milk and honey, the text says. They got to the land and they conquered it. And as they began to settle, they looked at other nations around them. They saw that the other nations around them had kings. And so they said, we want a king too. And the prophet and judge who was leading them, a guy by the name of Samuel, thought that they were rebelling against him. He was their leader. And he went to God and says, they're rejecting me as their leader. And God said to Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. I'm their true king. But if they want a king, I'll give them a king. But before I give them a king, I'm wanting to warn them what life is going to be with the king. It's not going to be everything they think it's going to be. But if they want it, be careful what you ask for. So he gives them a king. And thus, what we have is a history of some good kings, but mostly bad kings that created geopolitical systems that compromised God's ways. It was a mess. There was fighting. There was conflict. There was unrest. There was widespread corruption. And the people forgot who they belonged to. And it was as if God had been saying to the people as they were doing all this chaos and all these bad things, it was as if God says, Do y'all want me to come down there? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Do you remember when you were kids and your parents, you were in the other room with your siblings, your brothers, or your sisters, and you were getting into it, and you were fighting, and you heard that scary voice? For me, it was my mother, and my mother from the kitchen would yell up in the living room and says, to me and my brother, who we'd be getting into a tassel or doing, do y'all want me to come up there? And we both said, no. I'd rather get beat to a bloody pulp by my brother than to have my mother standing over me and doing anything. So you don't want me to come in there. But it's like, when you're driving in the car and your kids are in the back acting up and you say, do you want me to come back there? And I'm sure the kids are in the back saying, yeah, I'd like you to come back here while you're driving the car. But you know what I mean? When parents have to intervene because things are going on and God is, it's almost as if God is saying, do y'all want me to come down there and handle? Y'all better knock it off. You don't want me to come down there. Do you? Well, God had been saying that for years and years and years and years. And finally, God says, you really do need a king. You need a king. But I'm not going to give you any old king in the mold of some of the kings that you had in the past. I'm coming down to you and I'm going to be king. We call this action and gigantic historical event the incarnation. It's a fancy word, but all it means is that that's the moment where God came to earth and became flesh. Allow John in the New Testament to tell the story of the incarnation. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believes in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And this is the big piece of this. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John says the Word was God. And then he says the Word, God, became flesh and lived among us. And I love the translation that says, and God, the Word, became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. Because that's literally what he did. God, who created the heavens and the earth, remember the story? Had come to earth and put on flesh. That word we know as Jesus. Jesus. That is the Savior of the world. He is the one sent here to rescue us, to defeat our enemies, to pull us out of the messes we have gotten ourselves into. Jesus is the mighty God. Jesus is the champion. Jesus is the one who lived as human and did for humans what was otherwise humanly impossible. And the mighty God put on flesh and became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as a mighty God, he has the power to be our champion. He has the power to be our hero, to be our superhero. He has the power to save us from this world, to save us from ourselves, to rescue us from danger, and to restore us from our seasons of brokenness. We all experience some seasons of brokenness. We need a mighty God, a hero, and a champion to do what we can't do for ourselves. The child that is born would grow in the Spirit of the Lord and would be a mighty God with the power to heal, the power to transform. And we have a mighty God who put on flesh and lived among us. This is what's so fantastic, it's so great. We need to be reminded that as a mighty God, he's big, he's powerful, gigantic. But at the same time, he's small enough. He's small enough to think of you and me, to get personally involved in our lives. He's big enough to handle all things and everything, yet he's close enough to connect with us in our spaces, in whatever seasons we're in. He's big enough to have all the cares of the world on his shoulders, yet he's still available to be our personal superhero. Champion and warrior. He is the mighty God. And I pray that during this Advent season, you reconnect with the wonderful counselor, one who is able to hear, who's able to get to the heart of your issue, but also a mighty God who can see your issue, and as a champion, as a warrior, as a superhero, can go fight battles that we have not been built to fight ourselves. That's the God I serve, the God who I can call on at any moment and say, I can't fight this battle. I need you to fight this battle. I need you to fight all my battles because you are a mighty champion, a mighty hero, a superhero. That's the God I serve. That's the God we serve. That's the God that we've been worshiping this morning. That's the God whose representatives we are in this world. That's the God that we're telling people out there that you need to come get some of this God. That's the God that we are partnering with in mission in our community and in our world. That's the God that people are losing their lives every day sharing this message. That's the God that wants to be each and everyone in here. He wants to be your Savior, your Redeemer, your Rescuer, your Helper, your Banner, your Healer, your Shepherd, your El Shaddai. He wants to be everything in your life. He wants to be your king. No more do we live lives rejecting the true king for other kings and these gods who are competing for our lives. This is the day that we declare that the Lord, the God of Israel, the God of all the nations, he is our mighty God. Amen. So may you connect with this mighty God. And maybe today, is the day that you are in search of a hero. You're in search of a champion. Here's the thing. You don't need a Batman signal to shine in the air to get this God to come to you. You don't need to blow any special whistle. You don't need to do anything except call on his name right now and say, God, I need you in my life. I want you in my life. I want you to invade my space and take over. I am no longer king of my own life. I want you to be king of my life. I want you to fight my battles. I want you to rescue me. I want you to be the healer. I know I've come up with some fancy things and some potions and some tasks and that will help mitigate things in life, but guess what? They always fall short. I want the mighty God on this case. I want the God that has never lost a case. I want the God that we can all have confidence in to be my mighty God. Whether it's an issue at home, whether it's an issue at work, whether it's an issue out in the streets, whether it's an issue in church, let God be the mighty God. You know, the problem way back when, in the Garden of Eden, first sin, eating a piece of fruit off the tree, it wasn't about a piece of fruit. It was about dissatisfaction with God being God and humans not being God. Because at the heart of all of our issues is that we want to be God of our lives. And in many ways, we want to be God of other people. We need to stop that and let the mighty God be the God of all. Amen. So as we sing this song of invitation, where we sing of a Christ who is all around, who is available to all, we pray that if there's a way that we can help you connect to this Christ, connect to this child who would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, if there's a way that we can be helpful in your journey with God, we do so as humble servants of God. We do so trying to do our best not to judge you. We do so trying our very best to let you know that, guess what, as you might be going through some stuff, we going through some stuff. Let's go through some stuff together. Let's call out together out to this mighty God. And if this is the day, as one person today is already ready to make that decision to give her life to Jesus Christ and to continue her journey with God, as a baptized follower of Jesus Christ. If today is the day that you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, that baptistry is big enough for anyone who wants to get, we don't have a one baptized limit. But if you want to get baptized today, if you want to call on the name of the Lord, call down, be filled with the Holy Spirit today, you can do that. So let's stand, let's sing the song, and let's celebrate.